Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White Dove Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. Welcome back to the FemNation podcast. Today, I have Alina Nikishina.
That's right.
I got it. Yes. I actually was practicing that in my head. She's a CPA and co-founder, program architect of the Mastery Network. We'll get to know a little bit more about that later. Thanks for coming on, Alina.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the main question. Where'd your entrepreneurial journey start?
Oh, okay. So it started last year. If you asked me, you know, a few years ago, would I be here? I would kind of laugh at you and say no. In fact, I was just building up, you know, what my employment career would look like. And then, you know, what kind of happened was I joined my whole career. I was in public accounting and I started in a really big accounting firm doing taxes. And then I kind of soon realized that I wanted to have more connection with my clients and I wanted to work with small business owners. So I started looking for jobs with smaller firms. And I found this amazing firm with an owner who seemed to have a different vision. Just the way that he talked to me was different from everybody else. He was talking about, you know, the future of the accounting industry and how he, you know, he really cared about the opportunity of his employees and the culture. And it was just so different from traditional accounting firms. So I knew that I wanted to join this firm. And I got a job there. He kind of made an opportunity for me, which was amazing. And he also gave me a lot of opportunity to be kind of outside of the traditional accountant role, which traditionally, especially junior accountants, they're focusing on, you know, taxes and bookkeeping. But he was like, you should try sales and marketing and managing a team and looking at the financial statements and how the firm kind of runs. So I got to be in a lot of different seats and kind of get to taste that entrepreneurial side without actually having the risk of, you know, putting in the money and, you know, yeah, at the end of it all, I wasn't fully responsible. So, yeah. And when I joined, he was talking about how the industry of accounting is changing. And how technology is kind of coming in and automating a lot of these bread and butter services like accounting and taxes that once had to be done manually, right? And so now what's most important in this industry is to grow relationships with clients. And clients are actually asking more for a relationship type of advice, more of an advisory type of relationship rather than, oh, I can't wait to see the tax return you prepare or the set of books, right? I don't think any.
Yes, can't wait for the P&L.
Yeah, business owners excited about balance sheets. So yeah, and we had this vision to start kind of a separate business where we would have a program for entrepreneurs for them to kind of get their basic questions answered that we hear all the time. Mm-hmm. So it was so exciting for me to hear that he was focusing on the future. And it was exciting for me to hear that our firm was heading there. But, you know, this whole vision of the program never came into fruition until last year. he actually ended up selling the accounting firm. And I think that, you know, I was telling him that I was really excited about the advisory piece and I knew that we were going to start a separate business. So, I think it was just time. And for me, I had to make a choice of whether to stay or to leave and pursue this brand new business, kind of uncharted business of starting this program. And yeah, I feel like that's happened to me multiple times in life, this kind of like disruptive event of, you can clearly see a line drawn in the sand of like, do you stay here or do you go there? Mm-hmm. You know, the like, right. works of life that you have. And I feel like, yeah, it was just the universe kind of saying, you should try this. You've been kind of, you know, been prepared for this a little bit with the roles that you've got to experience in this company. And this is something completely new. And now you have an ability to not only help entrepreneurs and advise them, which is what you most love doing, but you also can help your industry. And right. so as a young accountant, as a young CPA, I care about my industry and I care about the future of this industry. So it was kind of like, yeah, feeding two birds with one seed, I guess.
So like, let me ask you a question. You mentioned something that when you were having a conversation with him and he was talking about the future of the industry, moving more to an advisory role. But you said that it was exciting when you guys would have those conversations. What was exciting about that?
Well, it's exciting for me as a young person to think about the future. I'm just a future-oriented person. Yeah. I love thinking about what could be and what could be built. And I'm always questioning that. So for me, it's exciting to talk about the future in general. Mm-hmm. But also that it's just not often talked about unless you're maybe with thought leaders of the industry.
Sure.
Or, yeah, people normally just talk about today. Or, you know, fixing what's already happened. So
putting out fires. I think a lot of people have learned how to operate or move through life in their business by just putting out fires
on a
basis, which is counterproductive, but so forward thinking.
And just kind of like living on autopilot, like whatever happens, happens. I can't do that.
No, and I fully agree with you that we can change the outcome. We mm-hmm. have the capability to do so if we just do it, you know? So yeah, what is very mediocre to me. Let me ask you another question. How'd you deal with, struggles when you stepped into your entrepreneurial world a year ago? How did you deal with vulnerability and struggles of letting go of the safety net?
Oh, a lot of mental work. I was actually talking to my business coach yesterday and she was actually praising me on how far I've come in the last few months, just from doing a lot of self-development work and really focusing on it. And I was reflecting back to that year ago, and there's been so many different kind of, I don't want to say seasons, but like
sections.
Yeah, like sections of how I felt.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, it's almost like going through grief a little bit. Like, what have I done? And like, no, I didn't really do that. I didn't just step away from my job that was a comfortable salary and I knew what I was doing. And and then you just kind of, you know, start to think, why did you do this? Right. And that's what really gets you through. I think you have to figure that out, is something that's bigger than yourself, something that's bigger than the paycheck. Mm-hmm. So, because if you're in this for the money, you're probably not going to make it long term unless there's a grand vision.
Right.
And I learned that very quickly.
So talk to me about the impact that you want to make with your entrepreneurial world.
Oh my gosh, so much. So I want to help the accounting industry kind of step into this new era of, you know, playing nice with technology, having it be your friend, but also focusing more on growing relationships with your clients and your teams. That's exciting to me to see the future of the industry, but also education for everybody in general. Mm-hmm. I feel like education for me personally has been a gigantic portion of my life. You know, I'm not from this country, so I learned English through the help of English as a second language at school. Just always loved learning, like a lifetime learner. Mm-hmm. And so building an education business, which is what the Mastery Network is, and combining it with a way that I can use what I went to school for, what my profession is. It's just kind of, it's very dreamy.
Okay. So tell me, what's the end result? What's the end result of that dreaminess?
The end result.
What does it look like? How have you changed the world? How has this program changed the world? How has what you've created in all the time, the blood, sweat, tears, money you've put into it and invested, what does that look like? How will you know you have been successful?
Yeah. Well, honestly, just today, if I can just help one person today, that would be a massive success for me. But at the end, I guess the big audacious goal maybe you're trying to get at. Mm-hmm. So I want the programs that we're creating to be looked at as kind of a no-brainer insight place to go for anybody who wants to learn about business. Mm-hmm. And not be bored half to tears while doing it.
Right.
So I kind of want, I just want it to be split into kind of various sectors too. I think that we can help a lot in the education sector, like in high school or maybe early college or even community college sector, different kinds of industries. So somebody who's maybe going into the restaurant industry, needing advice specific to them. So doing kind of branching out into niche education topics, or just really, I heard so much as a professional, people coming to me and saying, I really just don't even know where to start. And I could just see that as a new entrepreneur myself, even though I understand these technical concepts of how to run and manage a business, because I had experienced it myself and I've learned a lot through my business and just the schooling that I've had. There's a lot about being an entrepreneur that kind of like the mindset stuff. And that's already hard, but I can't imagine if I also did not know the administrative side of it as well.
Right.
So I just want to make that easier for people. So as many people that could benefit from learning about these concepts in an easy way, that would be success to me. And also seeing a direct impact in the accounting industry where accounting professionals are able to use these programs to build better relationships with their clients and to grow their teams. I just, if trying to put it into words. Yeah, it's hard.
Totally fine. No, and I wanted to give you the space to see if anything else is creeping up on that. So let's reframe this and kind of go a little bit of a different direction. What is one win, one accomplishment that you have mastered or overcome in the last year since you stepped into this side of the world that you're proud of?
Oh, man. Okay. These are great questions.
They're common, though, for a lot of women in the entrepreneurial space. What you go through is not new. Yeah, I mean that you yeah. to you individually it is, but we all go through these pieces, and hearing what those are like for other women help us to navigate our own paths. So that's why I asked them.
Absolutely, absolutely. So one of the things that I'm most proud of, honestly, is just being here today, still working on this.
Yes, you're successful there.
It hasn't been an easy journey to where I just decided to do this and everything fell into place. And because, yeah, I've had to do a lot of mindset work to be okay with the place that I'm in today. Just reflecting back on how I felt a year ago, it was like I wasn't focusing on the right things. I was just kind of trying to wrap my brain around, you know, How are you going to work at home? Mm-hmm. Like, how are you going to make your own schedule? Mm-hmm. There's no one here to tell you anymore when to wake up or when to be where. You know, what are you going to work on next? What's most important? How do you prioritize? How are you even going to do this? Because you don't build e-learning, you're an accountant.
Right.
How do you create content? How do you be creative?
How did you crash course that for yourself? How'd you do that?
Yeah, so there was actually an online course by Amy Porterfield. And
I know exactly.
I think it was called Courses That Convert. It's no longer, she has something else now. It's called like Course Academy. Yeah, it was great. Extremely kind of overwhelming going through it all because I tried to cram it all in a month. I was just listening to it for like 2 or 3 hours a day, just going like, okay, I have to do this. So, and I got through it and it gave me kind of the initial foundation that I needed to start. So mm-hmm. I felt better about it. And then, you know, I have business partners and one of my business partners suggested kind of starting out playing with this course authoring software where you can build e-learning courses called Articulate. And so I started to play around in there and I'm like, hey, I think I can actually do this. So it did come together there.
Yeah. Just stepping one foot in front of the other and actually just moving in blind faith, really, that what you need to learn, you start to learn.
Exactly. Yes. And just kind of rolling with the punches, right? Like, oh, I don't understand this. Okay. I'll have to spend a day figuring it out.
And as long as you with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you keep kind of like referring back to your why. Mm-hmm. Why are you here? What kind of impact do you want to make? Right. The questions you were asking. And I just kept thinking about, you know, our future members who are going to be so excited to share this with their teams and their clients, to just spread education. So that's what I think about every single day. Mm-hmm. And when I'm creating the e-learning too, I'm like, if I'm bored, I don't want to put this out there because I feel like it's going to reflect, you know, to whoever's learning. So, yeah. And so that's probably it's the biggest accomplishment of all that I've just been able to kind of take those many challenges and overcome them day to day. Mm-hmm. So
how have you encountered imposter syndrome?
Oh,
and what did you do about it?
You know, organizing what's going on, like kind of identifying what's happening in your life and, learning is what really helps me when I don't understand something, or when I know that, you know, when you first begin something, you're always going to be like, I'm not an expert. People aren't going to trust me. Mm-hmm. Why? Right. That was something that I felt in the beginning. But I just had to remind myself, I'm like, you know, you've gone through the schooling, you've gone through the experience yourself. You have the knowledge it takes. There's so much knowledge out there from other sources, but also from my business partners who are helping me with the content. You can do this. Now, what's bothering you most? It's probably not the competency of, do you have information that people would find valuable? It's more of can you even put this together? And so Amy's course really helped me. I also did a course on marketing called B School, which was extremely helpful.
Marie Forleo.
Yes, Marie Forleo. I'm a big fangirl of her. So education is what helps me overcome imposter syndrome.
So I want to touch on something about that real quick too. Education helped you with imposter syndrome, but do you feel you lean more towards the left side of your brain or the right side of your brain?
It's hard to answer, right? Because it depends on the situation. But yeah, I think I have the ability to think on with both. And I think most people do, but probably ultimately I lean on the left side when I was thinking about something the other day, I was like, yeah. And then this big, amazing grand vision with all these, you know, flying unicorns and stuff like that. And then I'm like, but that would probably never happen because that's not real.
Logic, right? Jumped in, right? Left side logic.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I find that a lot of analytical left logic thinking people that have that perfected, that are very balanced in that side of the brain too, that don't just stay in the creative side, which is a dance between the two. But I find that a lot of entrepreneurs that love to learn have a well-developed left side of their brain, and they know how to navigate through the two, but their capacity to learn and their drive to want to consume knowledge seems to be a little bit higher than those that don't perfect that or haven't perfected that. So it's interesting. That's why I wanted to ask you that, because it caused me to think, it's like, I have a question about that then.
Yeah.
The consumption of knowledge. I'm very much the same way. Very, very, very much the same way. I will always be consistently learning, and I will always be consistently growing, because I do the same thing. And that isn't because of imposter syndrome. I'm very, very connected with what I do and who I help, but that keeps me feeling like I'm just as sharp as possible, and I'm answering the questions that either my conscious or subconscious is aware of at the given moment. Sometimes there are books that I love to read, and I'll pick it up or I'll order it and I'll start it, and I'm like, this is really not applying to me at the moment. So I put it down. 2-3 months later, I'm like, that's the book I need to be reading right now. I know the general consensus of that book, but now it's time for the book. So I knew intuitively previously that I needed to know that. I wanted to learn that, but it was like dry. I was going to force myself to try to consume the content in the book, to learn about it. I mean, it's just, so, and I want to put that in the form of, that you had taken. So those wonderful courses, I know both of those, courses specifically. But taking those, that sometimes we know we need the information, and this is for the listeners, that we get the course, we feel like we have to consume it in a, you know, compact amount of time, because that's being efficient with our money and our time. But we end up being able to see the content, and maybe not all of it resonates. So it's okay to stop and just take a breather. It's okay to come back and revisit that. You can cram it in the 30 days and get all the knowledge you need, but there will be cycles of that as well. And so I'm sure both of those courses have some really good content that you could revisit again at some point in time, because they're valuable for you. But that's how it is with me for learning. And that's how I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs that withstand the test of being an entrepreneur to be successful, to be successful in at the levels that they want, that they desire. And those change as well. Those grow as well. So your idea and measure of success, of how you know you would define where success is right at this moment, what does that look like for you? You will push that higher as you get towards that. So entrepreneurs, we never you know, ride off into the sunset and hit this benchmark, and we're like, oh, we did it. First of all, that's not realistic anyways. But as a true entrepreneur, you're going to consistently climb. And that's the way it's going to work. And you're going to consistently evolve, and you're going to consistently know more. So any entrepreneur going into this thinking that all I need to know is X, Y, Z, when I get that, then I've mastered it. I am a leader and an expert in my stuff. You won't get to that point.
Yeah.
That is not something that's achievable. As a true entrepreneur, you will change the world, and you will have such awesome, you know, success stories from what you put together and what you create and what you put out there, but you will continue to improve them just as you'll continue to improve yourself. So that being said, that's fun. Yeah. That's really fun though. How has the entrepreneurial journey changed you? Like you as a person?
Oh my gosh. So entrepreneurship is self-development. The best self-development course that you could possibly ever take. We're talking so about true. Education. It changes you on so many levels. It challenges all your fears, right? Mm-hmm. Brings them all out for you either to deal with or to push aside, but then they'll just come out anyway at some point. It challenges your strengths. Mm. Where do you shine? You know, where can you do your best every day? It helps you see, it helps you uncover strengths mm-hmm. or fears that you didn't think you had or didn't have. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it's done for me. I feel like it's brought out it's definitely brought out a different side of me that I didn't really know if it could be there or not. Right.
Right.
Like the whole creative aspect. I kind of always identified as just a person that was very, logical. Like, you give me instructions, I can follow them. And I didn't think that I could just dream something up and make it visual. And I surprise myself with the ideas that I come up with every day, because I've now tuned my brain into that way of thinking.
Yes.
Of like, how can I make something complicated easy to understand? When I think about payroll, what comes to my brain? And stuff like getting your ducks in a row comes to my brain.
Right, right.
And then I create little modules with ducks coming out, talking about payroll.
And it's brilliant.
So yeah, it's kind of like that. It's just a complete challenge to everything that you thought you were or weren't. And then you decide on how you want to show up every day, what limiting beliefs you have and which ones you want to, I mean, you probably want to get rid of all of them, but which ones are you going to work on getting rid of? And what are you going to replace them with? How are you going to reframe your thinking?
Yes.
So I've always been a spiritual person in the context of like the whole woo-woo culture of the universe and energy and, but it's just so intensely, it's intensified this year with doing the mindset work and identifying those limiting beliefs. And the person who I was a year ago may have never stood up for herself during certain times, or didn't think that she could go a little bit without planning or knowing the future.
Mm.
Because that's one of the big things, right? I told you I was future oriented.
Yes.
So in the very beginning, it bothered me so much to not know what's going to happen a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen 5 years from now?
What was it that helped you settle that with yourself? What was either the limiting belief or the piece that you needed to overcome? What was it that settled that?
Yeah, it's kind of like asking yourself, so why are you afraid of not knowing what's going to happen a year from now? What's the fear behind it? And kind of just answering that I can't plan for it. Mm-hmm. I can't take, but I can actually. I wake up every day and I take steps towards my goals, right?
Right.
So it's just a different way of thinking. Like now, instead of, well, maybe a year from now I can be manager. You can say like, a year from now, I want to build a program. So what do you need to do to build this program? Well, you need to wake up every day and work on it little bits at a time. You need to be really open to consuming a lot of content. You need to be open to creative ways of explaining not so fun concepts, right?
Right.
So it's planning in a way. Mm-hmm. Planning helps me.
No, that's perfect. And I know that's going to help somebody that's listening. Absolutely. So tell me, what is the Mastery Network? Tell me about that, because you know I have an accounting background myself. So of course, this is fascinating to me. So I want to share. I want you to share.
Okay. Yeah. So we created the Mastery Network with the entrepreneur or anybody who wants to learn about business in mind. We want to bring clarity to how to properly run a business, run and manage a business, because entrepreneurship is not something that's usually taught in formal education,
right?
Unless you go to a specific program, which they have now, which is amazing. Or maybe you go through a boot camp. There's a lot of amazing local resources that provide that. They're usually kind of limited though. Like they can only take in so many people, or it's all live and it's, you know, hard to make it if you have a tight schedule. So we created the Mastery Network to build programs for anybody who wants to increase their business knowledge online at any time. And we want to partner with advisors. Currently, we're working primarily with accounting professionals who will be kind of members of our network and will provide that e-learning to their small business clients. So it's not something, this e-learning is not something you can buy off the shelf yet. It's something that you would have to go see your professional, like accounting professional, mm-hmm. and then they can facilitate that for you. And then, so when you're taking the e-learning and you're learning these concepts, your professional advisor knows what you're going through and you can ask them specific questions to your situation so that they can give you custom advice. Right. So it provides like a level of accountability, but also kind of, you know, support system, which is not something you normally get with e-learning, with the exception of maybe a Facebook group.
Right.
So,
which has its pros and cons.
Yeah. If it's engaging, it's great.
Right. Sometimes. So you can find those. They do exist.
Absolutely. But,
so what is one tip that the listeners can take away about building a business or, you know, something that is, you know, just a hot topic inside of the Mastery Network? What is one thing that you would share with them?
Oh, so personally, when I first started my journey, I wish that there was just a guide that was assigned to you. like every entrepreneur that starts a journey, they just get this person assigned to them. No, but
that's a good really, business model.
Right. Right. Yeah. But really, I wanted to know the right way of thinking from the start. Like what kind of thoughts am I going to experience that are going to be, they're usually limiting belief thoughts. Mm-hmm. And they're usually very common within entrepreneurs because they're actually society based. A lot of them, right?
Yep.
Like we've usually as kids, we're always told to ask permission and to not take risks, to be careful, right? Which all these things are, they don't help your entrepreneurial journey because you have to be the complete opposite. Right. So even though it makes common sense to think, yeah, it's hard to be an entrepreneur. It's hard to own your own business. I don't think you really understand what that means until you actually step into it. And then usually it's because you have to go through all this stuff by yourself. Mm-hmm. Because you're overwhelmed with like, okay, how do I build this business? How do I run it? And then when you're busy with all of that, you forget that mentally, you also need to be prepared. So my biggest tip is, and it doesn't have to do with the program that I'm building, but I want to expand on it once I'm done with this thing, is just to focus on mindset from the very beginning. So either find a business coach that can help you transit if you're transitioning from employment to entrepreneurship, especially like figuring that out. Mm-hmm. I feel like it'd be amazing to get some help in the very beginning rather than doing it all yourself and kind of running off the fumes of excitement in the very beginning because you're like, I did it. You know, I left my job and this is so great.
Yeah, and then crashing.
And then crashing.
Because taking an employee mindset into the beginning stage of the entrepreneurial journey cannot be sustained by the excitement.
That's right. Yeah. And then it's usually months later that you start to figure out that.
Or you spend for a while.
Yes.
That happens.
Yes.
Such great, great, great wisdom there. Great tips on that. You've definitely done your work. It is evident.
But yeah, and then the other stuff is kind of working with advisors. I feel like if you don't have a background in some of these key kind of areas, and I would say like accounting for sure, accounting, legal stuff, mm-hmm. you know, hire somebody to help you with just the basics. Mm-hmm. You don't need to pay someone thousands of dollars every month when you're first starting out for basic advice. But it would be nice to just get some foundational structure stuff in place so that you're not scrambling a year from now trying to figure it out. So,
number two, great advice. That is a must. And to all those entrepreneurs out there listening, if you're in year two and you don't have those professional advisors, please seek them because it is imperative that you have that information. So, all right, Alina, where can the listeners find you and connect with you?
Yeah, so you can find the Mastery Network either on our website at themastery.network, there's no .com, or on Facebook at just search the Mastery Network. And you can find me personally on LinkedIn, Alina Nikishina. Feel free to send me a message to connect. I'd be happy to network.
Wonderful. Guys, take advantage of that. She's a wealth of information and has done her homework. So I want to make sure that you have a conversation if this interview has, you know, sparked some thought for you of things that maybe you need to overcome. But as always, keep moving forward.
Thanks for listening to the FemNation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.